Hi, this is Phoenix here with the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty Community Radio, and I'm here with Joan Ruza from Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse is an organization that promotes alternatives to prison, penal abolition, and transformative justice. Thank you, Joan, for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. So we're here to talk a little bit about the Conservative government's law and order agenda that they brought forth in 2008 in an attempt to increase prison expansion in Canada. So, Joan, what is the law and order? What is Stephen Harper's law and order agenda?
So what they're saying, what the Harper government is saying, is that in order to promote community safety and to protect people from what they call dangerous criminals, that they need to enact harsher laws and build more prisons, so expand the prison industrial complex. The Harper government is a really ideological government, so despite the fact that all the measures they're trying to put in place, like mandatory minimums or harsher sentencing, even though we know from every study that's ever been done that harsher sentencing doesn't actually deter people from committing crimes, they're continuing to push this agenda with no evidence to support what they're doing.
And what has the Harper government done since 2008, since bringing forth this agenda? Like, what has happened? What sort of legislation has passed?
Yeah, so they've had a really strong agenda, and unfortunately, some of what they've done has been supported by other parties, which is obviously quite disappointing. But they've gotten rid of two-for-one. So it used to be that because the conditions in detention centers were so horrific, sometimes people are triple, quadruple bunked while they're in detention centers. These are people that have been charged but not convicted of a crime. That judges used to give people two-for-one. So every day they spent in pretrial detention, they would get 2 days off their sentence. So the Harper government got rid of that. They've imposed mandatory minimum jail sentences for gun offenses, anything related to gun crimes. They raised the age of sexual consent from 14 to 16. They ended early parole for white-collar crime. And, yeah, they've made it more difficult for certain types of people who've committed certain types of crimes to get a pardon.
Wow. Wow. So what can we expect now that the Harper government's been reelected and we now have a majority? Like, what can we expect from the days to come?
Right. So they're continuing to try to promote this culture of fear by saying, you know, we have to be fearful of organized crime. We need to be fearful of dangerous criminals. And now that they're a majority, of course, it's going to be much easier for them to push stuff through Parliament. So what they've done is they've taken like 11 bills that were sort of moving through Parliament before the election was called. And they've now put them all together in something that's called an omnibus bill. So what will happen is Parliament will have to pass all of these bills together as one bill, which means there's a lot less opportunity for debate. And because they have a majority, the opposition won't be in a position to stop those bills from passing. So it's obviously quite concerning for anyone who cares about prisoners' rights or human rights in general, because, yeah, it just becomes much more complex in terms of how do we move forward with trying to fight these things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What sort of bills are being lumped into this omnibus bill?
So among the bills, some of which have been talked about in the media quite a bit, is mandatory minimum sentencing for drug crimes. And what this means, I think people are sort of under a false impression that the government's been trying to say that leaders of organized crime are going to be the people that are targeted by this bill. But it includes things like you could get 6 months in jail for having 5 marijuana plants. Mm. And that if you're caught trafficking a larger amount, you could get a minimum of 2 years for marijuana. Mm-hmm. It's completely mm-hmm. ridiculous. So what this really means is that low-level dealers and people with drug use issues, and probably in a lot of cases a lot of youth, are the ones who are going to be targeted by this bill, are going to spend a lot of time behind bars. And again, mandatory minimum sentencing has been used in other countries. It's been a complete abysmal failure. Mm-hmm. It has not stopped that behavior at all. It's just put more people in prison mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. for longer periods of time. So there's that one. They want to get rid of house arrest, even for things like property crimes. So someone who's been convicted of theft would have to go to prison, which is completely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Why are we putting mm-hmm. people who've committed property crimes in jail? They want to make it even more difficult for people to get pardons, particularly people who have committed violent crimes. Mm-hmm. So they're just, and they're also trying to get rid of the word pardon and change it to record suspension. So obviously the idea of pardon is like, almost like the idea of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Like you've served your time and now it's done, and they're trying to take that away. Mm-hmm. And you know, not having a pardon makes things very difficult for people in terms of access, in terms of getting employment. So it's just going to make it more and more difficult for people to sort of move forward with their lives. Mm-hmm. They want to make harsher laws for youth. So they want to have more pretrial custody for youth rather than youth being able to serve their pretrial time in the community. And they also want to get rid of a publication ban. So right now, the names of youth can't be published in the paper, but they want to get rid of that by suggesting that somehow it promotes community safety, when in fact all it does is stigmatize youth who, again, have not been convicted, have only been charged of a crime. So it's quite problematic. And there's this really disturbing thing they're trying to push through that allows surveillance of our internet communication. So they would be able to, without a warrant, like it used to be that you would have to have what's called reasonable cause to look at someone's computer or to what they're looking at, but now they wouldn't need that. And one of the things they want to do is that if you are seen, if you're linked to a site that's seen as having hate material on it, and like we don't know what that means, who's deciding what that means and what websites would be covered under that, that you could actually be charged as a result of that and get quite a serious crime. And again, because it's an omnibus bill, it's going to mean that there's been very little debate about this issue and what it means for people's privacy and invasion of privacy. So people are quite worried about it. And then there's other issues around transferring people from one country to another, and there's also stuff around terrorism, which means that people could be detained without charge if they're seen as somehow being involved in what's considered terrorist activities.
Wow. So, I mean, it's clear that we can see that these bills are pushing to further criminalize youth, further criminalize communities, poor communities, racialized communities, and further criminalize push the criminalization of dissent. And it's clear for us to see this. And with what's going on in the states right now with the mandatory minimums, and a lot of states are pushing away from the tougher on crime. So why is the government doing this? Like, why is Harper doing this? Like, what is his intent when, you know, studies show that this is an unsuccessful route to take? And we can clearly see what his intentions are. But could you speak a little bit to those intentions?
Well, I think it's a number of things. One of them is that law and order agendas win elections, because if you create a culture of fear, like people are sort of willing to give up a lot of their liberties, and if you create an us and them mentality, that it's like there's this certain segment of the population that's dangerous and threatening, and tell them that the only way you can be protected is to remove those people from society, people really buy into that. And the media is completely complicit, because the media sort of only tells the most sensationalistic stories about crime. They tell it in a really one-sided way, so that, you know, a person who's accused of something is only known as the thing that they've done. So we call people murderers, we call people rapists. Like, they are completely defined and distilled down to that one act. So they've created a culture of fear. And there's also a huge monetary component to it. I mean, there's a lot of companies that are going to make a lot of money from prison expansion. The government wants to spend $9 billion spending new prisons, despite the fact that our crime rate in Canada has been dropping since 1994, and the crime severity index has also been dropping. But yeah, it's a huge moneymaker. Like, if you look on the CSC website, you can actually see what different corporations have contracts with CSC and how much money they're making. So part of it's profit, and, you know, human beings are going to have their lives destroyed because of profit and fear-mongering.
So further marginalizing segments of the population to profit is basically what the intent we're looking
at. And I think it's totally about social control, and that anyone who falls outside of a very narrow dominant culture is seen as being threatening, and we want to remove those people. And as you were saying about the criminalization of dissent, we saw particularly in the G20 how far the police and the government are willing to go to stop people from any kind of dissent against the government.
So can you speak a little bit to what communities will be directly affected by things like mandatory minimum for drug offenses, and specifically the youth bills? What communities will be targeted?
Sure. So I can talk about that generally, and then how that will apply specifically to these bills. So if we look at who's in prison, we're sort of given the impression, again, that, you know, we need to build prisons to protect people from dangerous people. But if we look at who's actually in prison, 81% of people are in for nonviolent crimes. 40% of people in Ontario prisons are in on remand, which means they've been charged but not convicted of a crime. And we have a real overrepresentation of Indigenous people in particular. Indigenous people make up 3% of the Canadian population, but 23% of the prison population. Some Prairie Province is 77%. There's an overrepresentation of racialized communities, people with psychiatric disabilities, People who are drug users, because drug use is criminalized, we're now seeing the criminalization of queer people, trans people, and people with HIV, which is another huge concern of what's happening right now. So these are the communities that are generally targeted, and these are also the communities that will be specifically affected by these bills, especially things around mandatory minimums, and people living in poverty will also be specifically targeted and impacted by these bills.
Wow, this is really intense to think that now, you know, Harper has a majority government and is going to be able to push forward with all these bills really quickly. So what can we do? What are the next steps for people doing, you know, this kind of abolition work, or just for people that want to ally and support?
So I think in the days after the election, I actually was feeling quite despairing because I thought, yeah, how do we move forward now that we have a majority government? But I think the way I've been trying to look at it is just that we still need to be focusing on raising public awareness, because there are still a lot of people, because we're fed so much misinformation by the media, that people just don't understand what's going on, which I think is part of the reason that the Conservatives got a majority, although let's be clear that 40% is not a majority, but the way our electoral system works, it's seen as a majority. So yeah, we need to keep raising public awareness. If your MP is someone who you think is sympathetic to these issues, like in this riding where my workplace is, it's Bob Rae. So Bob Rae is it's quite possible that Bob Rae would be sympathetic. Or in where I live, it's Olivia Chow, who I know would be sympathetic. So trying to, you know, meet with people, find out who the new justice critic is going to be, and just continue to try to, yeah, just to raise awareness and let people know that the direction we're moving is absolutely the wrong direction to be going.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you. Thank you for the interview, and it was really informative, and thank you.
Thanks.